You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
What a show throughout the course of tonight. It's Friday night. You'll have your chance to step up and try to beat the fat man. We'll do that later on tonight at 9 o'clock, as we do on Mondays and Fridays. We will also, at 8 o'clock, speak to Rich Cimini about the Jamal Adams, New York Jets, Adam Gase situation, with the plot thickening there. We will also talk about some rather innovative ideas from teams that are trying to come up with plans to make fans still feel like they're a part of these games that are about to happen. But we start with Adam Silver and the NBA. Earlier today, Adam Silver and the league laid out their definitive plan for returning to play as of the 30th of July. And as you would expect, he got a lot of the questions that pertain to the spike that have happened, that has happened down in Florida, that pertain to players that are opting out, pertain to players if they test positive, what happens. Out of 302 tests that they have administered of players, there have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 positive tests, how they're going to address that. All of that was part of his discussion today. But there was an interesting part that I think you might look at as a bit of a cliche line, but I just want to start there tonight. Adam Silver, in the midst of explaining why it's so important for the NBA to come back, discussed the fact that sports matter. Sports matter when it comes to bringing people together. And when you hear that from a commissioner of a sport, normally your eyes might actually roll into the back of your head. Because we know why sports are coming back right now. They are coming back quite simply because of money. And there's no other debate about it. We understand that sports are the great unifier, but if there wasn't the amount of money on the line for these sports leagues, we wouldn't even be talking about it. Thanks, Chris. That's obvious. But I want to get back to the notion that sports matter. Just because it came from a commissioner of a sport that's trying to come back, and that is catching a little bit of heat right now because there is a massive spike in coronavirus cases in the state of Florida, where they are going to be in their bubble, so to speak. He's talking about sports mattering. I have to tell you, as much as we've gone through over the last 3.5-4 months, I'm at the point where something like this from Adam Silver, I'm going to take more seriously than I normally would. He's not wrong. It's not the primary motivation, but he's not wrong. You know, he's the first guy that we have heard out of real power positions in all of sports just saying, hey, this is what we're going to have to live with right now. This is not going anywhere anytime soon. We understand that, and we're going to figure out how to work around it. Nothing is risk-free in life. We understand that. His exact quote was, we know that COVID-19 is going to be with us for the foreseeable future, and we're left with no choice but to learn to live with this virus. No options are risk-free right now. You know, he's not wrong when he says no options are risk-free. Players, no matter where they are, whether they're playing basketball or somewhere else in the world, they are risking being exposed. You know, even if they are staying at home and sheltering in place and doing the things that they're supposed to do, we all, every day, are risking being exposed. And we understand how easily this particular virus is able to spread. And that's been the number one factor about it. It's efficiency. That's why it's been the concern that it has been. That's why when people want to scream and yell about other issues, this really comes to the forefront because it's so easily spread. But sports do matter. He's right. There is, even though money is the driving force, and we know that, let's put it aside for a second. What are sports? They are a symbol of, for us right now, things starting to try to get back to normal. And if you want to listen to the inner message there, it's simply this. In those few sentences that I just read, we're going to have to deal with it. So let's try to do the best we can with it. If they have to shut down, they'll shut down. If they have entire teams that get infected, they'll quarantine them and they'll make sure they're as safe as possible. Do you think for a second the NBA isn't aware of the scrutiny that they're going to come under should a player contract it and get sick and actually pass away from it? Of course they are. Of course they are. They understand what all the numbers say across the board. They also understand that in this bubble that they are trying to put together, that they have designed, that they know the intricacies of, they know that the players may be safer in there than anywhere else. I heard Ramona Shelburne talking about this today. You know, even though there are the potential of holes in the bubble with Disney and their employees coming and going, and they're going to be going through testing apparently more now too, because the league has tried to get that part of it worked out as well. Well, it might end up being one of the safest places on the planet if these guys actually do the right things and stay within the rules and stay within the confines of where they are. There's nothing wrong with at least looking at a situation and understanding that when there's a priority put on the health and safety of players in an unideal situation like this, is that even a word? I don't know, but we're using it. Then you have to try to figure out how to make it work. Because in the grand scheme, don't we all need some normalcy? Honestly. Look, I know that a lot of people have had to go to work normally in this. I know that a lot of people have had to work remotely through this. And primary thing is obviously safety. But everybody has been inconvenienced by this. Everybody has had their life altered by this. And if you're just trying to break through and just say, I'm not going to take it anymore, well, that's just stupid. Because that's the way that you get sick. Look at the family in Texas. They have a party. 25 people come and go. It's a surprise party. 18 people get infected. 18 of 25! The league is doing something completely different here. They are taking every single precaution possible. They are not throwing caution to the wind and trying to just get back for the money, yes, but trying to just get back willy-nilly with no precautions. Do you believe for a minute that's the case? We might have trouble with football. We might have a little bit of trouble there because of the contact sport aspect of it. But right now, sports do matter. Don't we all need a little dose of normalcy? Everyone, as a people, the players, everyone involved outside here, they're going to be going in there, and they're going to be playing, and they're going to be paid handsomely for it. Yes, some have already been paid in full, but they're going to be paid to go and play. But at the same time, they're going to be remarkably inconvenienced by this, should they choose to play. And there are going to be guys who don't want to. They have thought this through on every front. And yes, while money is the primary concern, two things can be right at the same time. Sports matter to get us back to a semblance of normalcy. Honestly, they do. Because you look around, and what does it do? Gives everybody a little bit of hope. Nothing wrong with that. I'll say it again. It has not been a good year. We need to get that worm to turn. We need to be responsible about how we do it. But we just need a couple of cracks of sunlight in the clouds right now, don't we? So, yes, safety is incredibly important. It's left to the player to make the decision. If they have families that could have underlying conditions, they have to be checked themselves thoroughly for physicals to make sure they don't have any underlying conditions. Today, Willie Cauley-Stein of the Mavericks pulled out because his wife is due next month. Everybody does what they have to do for themselves. But this is for the overall good. It truly is. Sports do matter because they allow us to feel like ourselves again. And I don't know about you, I haven't felt like myself in months.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll get to Jamal Adams here shortly in the very latest that involves Adam Gase, who has spoken today. You know, when it boils down to it, if you look at this whole thing and you want to continue the notion of getting into sports and saying it's just too much of a risk right now, I understand it. I understand where you're coming from. But doesn't there have to be a rising up in a responsible fashion of starting to get back to normal? I'm not talking about sitting here and screaming and yelling about masks and personal freedom. Wear a mask. It helps you stay safe and it helps others stay safe, period. And it's really not that inconveniencing. It's really not. But it's also more about the idea that when you move on and you start to get things headed in the right direction and you have a true feel for what sports can do, you understand it starts to get you headed in the right direction. You understand that that can be almost a locomotive to drive it. Everybody else in different forms around the country look at what they're doing. How do we get back to a level of normalcy while living with this until we have a vaccine? There's a lot that comes from that. It's responsibly trying to get back to a level of normalcy while at the same time not rushing and putting people at true risk. It's the way to go. I got to tell you, to shift topics for a moment, open lines at 800-919-3776. Good time to get through right now. We'll have Rich Cimini at 8 o'clock to discuss this entire Jamal Adams situation. And when I heard Adam Gase today, and he talked about he wants Jamal on the team. In fact, we'll play some of that sound for you in a moment. You know, it almost sounded like he was completely caught off guard by the notion that he may not have the best relationship with Jamal. And, you know, normally a coach is going to have a very good feel for what his relationships with different players are. I don't expect Adam Gase to come out and say, we have an awful relationship. I want him off this team. He's got to go. No, he's the best player on the team, and we all know it. Listen to Adam Gase earlier today talking about how his relationship with Jamal Adams is great.
My relationship with Jamal has been good since the time that I've gotten here, and you know, we've had a lot of discussions throughout the season trying to figure out ways to win. And to me, we've always got along well, and there's been a lot of dialogue between us, especially about, you know, on and off the field type topics.
Yeah, let's, from that standpoint, you understand where they're coming from. You know, Gase is a guy that's sitting there and saying, My relationship with him is fine. It's good. And he's a little bit dumbfounded. And you understand that if you're a coach and you feel like you have a good relationship with a guy, unless you're absolutely 100% lost, which, I mean, let's not be nuts here. Adam Yates might be in some respects. But that's coming from a head coach that is not going to say he's got a bad relationship, but I do think he was, you hear a tone in his voice. Listen to it again. Listen to the tone in his voice and hear how he's talking about his relationship with Jamal.
My relationship with Jamal has been good since the time that I've gotten here. And, you know, we've had a lot of discussions throughout the season trying to figure out ways to win. And, for me, we've always got along well, and there's been a lot of dialogue between us, especially about, on and off the field type topics.
You hear the tone? What's the tone? Almost disbelief, which makes me think it's more Jamal driven, right? That maybe it's not even true. Maybe Jamal is just trying to push every single button that he can right now to get out. Okay, you want out. We get it. That's good for you. Okay? The Jets don't have to do a damn thing. And Jamal has no leverage, and this is the only way to do it. So when you're the head coach here, a day after your defensive coordinator specifically goes into talking about how much he loves him and says, I've got his back, and the head coach almost sends the message of, in the way he's talking, like, this is not the way that I read this situation. You don't get to be a head coach in the league by being completely tone deaf. It can happen. I think there are times when Adam Gase is tone deaf, but I also think that right now he sounds like somebody that absolutely wants him back and is a little bit blown away that this has been the reaction, that it got to this point, that Jamal went to a reporter who he knew would carry the water for him. I mean, Manish has got to be jacked by now with the amount of water that he's carrying for Jamal, and he's carried for players who will speak to him. He's got to be jacked, right? Gallons of water weigh what, 5 pounds a piece, something like that. When you carry that much water, God, it's going to hurt. And how about this? Defining cowardice. You take the quote from Jamal, well, not quote, but you take the information inside from Jamal, you print your article. And then when the head coach is speaking the next day, you don't get on the conference call. Oof. That's cowardly. That's a cowardly act. I mean, maybe there's something else going on, and I hope not. I hope there's nothing serious going on at all. But I would also say, when you say something, be ready to face the music. Be ready to face the music. And when you write a story, after you are trying to completely discredit the head coach among the locker room, among everybody, to where other players actually speak up and call you a cancer or poison to the locker room. And Jamal says what he does, and he's just trying to figure out any which way possible to get out, so he's going to use you for that. I tell you what, I know you take it because you want the information, but you don't have to write with that tone as a reporter and then not show up on the conference call the next day. That is a gutless act. Gutless. 800-919-3776. Steve in Staten Island is going to start us off. Steve, what's going on?
I think it was Pete, but I think that's me.
Hey, oh, that's up? You. Yeah.
No, I mean, you just went off on Jamal. I was going to talk about basketball, but...
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. It's all on the table, brother.
So here's my question when it comes to the NBA, right? What happens when they're in the bubble, right, and LeBron and AD both test positive?
They're going to be pulled out. They're going to be pulled out, and they're going to be isolated. They're going to be quarantined. I mean, Adam Silver actually.
Out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Adam Silver said today, it doesn't matter if you're the biggest star in the league or a journeyman, if you test positive, you're going to be quarantined.
And you don't see any problem with that?
I see a problem with it, but I don't think, do you think that he's going to go ahead and let him go play while he's tested positive?
No, I don't think he will. Let's look from a gambler's perspective real quick. Do you get refunded for that?
No. That's bad luck. No, it's not, because if you're a gambler, first of all, they call it gambling for a reason. Secondly, there's always the possibility of LeBron getting hurt, and that's basically what this is right now. So yeah, if you're looking at the futures right now on the Lakers and thinking you can lock this up, I mean, yeah, you got to remember that's always possible.
But it was made well before any of this happened. Obviously, you always know injuries are a part of it, but like, this is completely a different situation. Like, LeBron could test positive, he could still play, but they're not going to let him play. And it's just a very weird situation.
Well, no, it's not that he could still play, okay? Of course he could still play. They're not going to let him play. Don't make it sound like he's getting suspended or anything. He is carrying an incredibly infectious virus. So don't make it sound that way. But Steve, if you placed the bet on the Lakers at the beginning of the year, which it sounds like you did.
No, I didn't. I only got like rookie of the year stuff. I didn't bet on anybody to win the whole thing.
Well,
but I'm looking at it that way. Like they say they're going to be in a bubble, and I mean, I've seen golf. I'm a golfer myself. I'm on my way home from 36 holes, if you couldn't tell, but that bubble is not, that bubble's got holes in it, right? So
they're working on it. Yeah. I mean, they're working on it, and I appreciate the call, Steve. They are apparently working very closely with Disney about monitoring the employees that are going to be coming in and out, and a lot of testing for them as well. Now, look, is it the same as it's going to be for the players? No. But if there's constant testing and contact tracing, they could potentially be able to limit the exposure. And as far as placing a bet at the beginning of the year on the Lakers, you know, in ninth grade, I had a math teacher named Mr. Conway. Great guy. Varsity basketball coach, too. Was only at Oratory Prep for a year. Phenomenal guy. And I'll never forget, what was Larry's last name? I forget. Kid named Larry in front of me. Never did his homework. Looked a lot like the youngest son on Modern Family. Not Manny, his cousin, Luke. Looks a lot like that guy. And acted a lot like that guy. Larry never did his homework. Lazy as could be. My buddy Michael Boslett is sitting right in front of him. Mr. Conway's going around the room, and he's checking homework. He's like, did you do your homework, Mr. Boslett? Yeah, of course. Mr. Carlin, you do your homework? I did. It's right here. All right. Larry, you did your homework? Well, Mr. Conway, I called Michael Boslett, and he told me that we didn't have any homework. You know what, Larry? Mr. Boslett screwed you. It's like, tough nuts. Sorry, you placed a bet. It is going to be treated, at least I believe so, like the player got injured.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
What's good, Tri-State area? It's your boy Tony from the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gotts and the Levitard and Friends Network. And right now, you're listening to Carlin on 98.7 ESPN Radio. Carlin, you're my guy, but you don't know what you're missing with pineapple on pizza. Pepperoni and pineapple is the ultimate pie, and it's so damn good. Kyrie, load up the calls. You know what time it is. Time to beat the fat man.
pineapple and pepperoni. Stay in Miami, brother. Pineapple and pepperoni. You're in Miami. It's supposed to be New York South. It's where we go to blow off some steam. Come on. Oh, that's funny. Well done, Kyrie. Well done. 800-919-3776. Pineapple on pizza. It is that time to beat the fat man. We welcome in the original host of Beat the Fat Man, who has returned tonight. And that is Joe Pollack. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, Chris. How you doing?
I'm a little apathetic at the moment at my own performance these days. And I wouldn't say I'm looking in the mirror. I am wearing a shirt tonight that is from Nike that says, "This good ain't easy." And I think it's apropos of the moment, no?
I think so, but I wonder if this is a little bit of a ploy. You know, I've heard you state, you know, how the confidence gets you, but
no, it's not.
No, not a ploy?
I feel like I've fallen off a bit lately. I felt like in the middle there we were kind of, you know, running for a good couple weeks, but now struggling.
I mean, let's try and keep that losses under double digits.
That is my goal tonight.
Yep.
And that is my goal moving forward. Once the losses get into double digits, it's like looking at a possible NCAA tournament team. And once you see they have more than 10 or more than 9 losses, you're like, ooh. Yeah. I don't know.
Nah, not a top seed.
No. Jesus is in Deer Park and wants to play Beat the Fat Man. Hello, Jesus.
Hello, how's it going, Chris?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Do you feel like you know your material?
I know some material, yes.
Okay. Jesus in Deer Park. What do you do for a living?
I actually work for Northwell Health.
Northwell Health.
I drive around picking up COVID specimens.
Okay. Well, you're doing the good work for us. We appreciate that very much. How old of a person are you?
I am 36.
Okay, and your shoe size is what?
10.5.
Okay, 10.5. Mark that down there, Joel. Let's check in with Mark in Highland Park. Hey, Zeus, please hold. We'll determine in just a moment. Mark in Highland Park. Mark, what's going on?
Oh, I was stuck in traffic, and I thought I dialed. Never actually managed to get on anything before. So I'm excited to be competing against a fellow fat man.
So what you really just did tonight is prove that if you don't try, nothing can happen.
I agree 100% with your statement, yes.
When you say you're a fat man, how much do you weigh?
Oh, God. People I know are listening.
Oh, go ahead. It's fine.
All right. 205 pounds.
Oh, please hold. And just stop. Unless you're 4'8". You are not a fat man at 205 pounds. Put Mark back on for a second. How tall are you, Mark? How tall are you?
5'10".
205 pounds for 5'10"? That is not fat. Stop. Hold on. Right there. I don't like that. That's insulting is what that is. Eric in Brooklyn, what's up?
What's up, Chris? How are you?
You know, I mean, I'm whatever.
I'm 5'8", almost 258.
Okay, it's not a game. It's not a dating show. But all right, you're chunkier. Okay, I get it. Eric, you're how old?
I am 54.
54 years old. 54. And you know your television?
I do. I had the COVID, so I spent about 5 weeks watching TV. So I think I'm ready.
Okay, how you feeling right now?
Now pretty good. It put me out for quite a while, but I'm feeling good right now.
What was the worst part about it?
104 degree temperature for 5 days straight. The heavy lungs and just feeling like garbage.
Wow. Well, we're glad that you're healthy right now. Please hold. Okay. Courtney in Long Island. Hello, Courtney.
Yes, sir.
You keep wanting to come back and get your shot again, huh?
Try.
All right. It was what? It was probably, what about 2-3 weeks ago that you last tried?
It was about 2 weeks ago I last tried. I wasn't selected.
All right.
But I figure you're intimidated by the knowledge.
No, but you got on and you lost.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Check in your win column.
All right, please hold. Joel Pollack, where do we start?
So I think I want to go with Eric, actually, as a man who suffered with COVID, I think it's only appropriate that we make him suffer more.
Wow. Once again, Joel, you have crystallized my thoughts brilliantly. Eric in Brooklyn. Eric, you will be our first contestant. I would urge everyone else to sit on the line. You may get a chance the second time around. Eric, are you excited now that you have won this opportunity?
I'm more excited than I should be. I feel a little funny.
Okay.
Very happy.
All right, so let's, I guess, find out what you got. Hit the music!
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
They're calling again.
Is your brain rotting with useless TV knowledge? Do you want to put your quarantine brain to goodish use? It's time to play Beat the Fat Man.
That it is. Joel Pollack, our host, explain the rules.
Okay, so each of you guys are going to get three questions, one each from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s, and you're each going to get 10 seconds to answer the question. Now, whoever gets the most questions right will be our winner. Now, if the score is still tied after three rounds, we're going to overtime, where the first one of you to win a round will be declared our winner. Now, our contestant, in this case it's Eric, you're going to get the question first, and Chris is going to go into isolation where he will not be able to hear the question until it's his turn.
And so here we are, mano a mano, Eric. Wish you luck. Go with God.
Same to you, sir.
All right. Let's send you right to the booth, Chris. You ready to go, Eric?
I certainly am.
Okay. First question from the 80s. What was the name of Alf's girlfriend from the planet Melmac?
I've already failed. Oh, I know Melmac. You know what? No.
I'm sorry. The answer is Rhonda, but let's keep that quiet for Chris and bring him back in. Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Okay, from the 80s, what was the name of Alf's girlfriend from Melmac?
Oh, crap. Got nothing. Crap!
The answer is Rhonda. Eric did not get it correct either.
Oh, I should have known Rhonda. I was not the biggest Alf guy. That's a terrible job by me. But you know what? Like, Rhonda's a name that
We even reference it in the open. We talk about Alf.
We do talk about Alf, but you ask what planet he's from. I know he's from Melmac.
Right, but we think that now you know that, you know, we've got to get questions.
Well, this is why
that.
I have to start studying up, Joel.
You do got to study up, and I mean, you got the time.
Crap.
Round two, here we go. To the booth.
Yes.
All right, Eric, you ready?
Yes, sir.
On The Simpsons, Mr. Smithers is a collector of what toy?
Malibu Stacy?
That is correct.
That's right. 1-0, Eric. Let's see if Chris can match it. Hang tight. Hello, Chris. On The Simpsons, here we go. Mr. Smithers is a collector of which toy?
Malibu Barbie.
That is correct.
Thank you.
And Eric got that right also, so we're going around three, tied at one.
All right.
It's tight. Here we go. Back to the booth. All right, Eric, here we go. 2010s. What dish did Chidi make upon having a mental breakdown on the TV show The Good Place?
Chili.
That is correct.
I didn't even get to start the timer. Good job, man. All right, let's see if Chris can hang in there with you. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
All right, 2010s. What dish did Chidi make upon having a mental breakdown on The Good Place?
I didn't watch The Good Place. I mean, it's Kristen Bell and, crap. I watched like three episodes of it.
The answer is chili. And our boy Mark got it right. Eric, sorry.
My name's Eric.
Yeah,
Mark.
Sorry, Mark. Sorry, Eric.
I'm all speechless. Right. I'm speechless. I mean, The Good Place, like, what was that on for a week? I mean, come on.
Four seasons.
It just got canceled. I know that. Got canceled. I know that. And I watched four episodes and was bored out of my mind. And I love Ted Danson. I like Kristen Bell, but whoever the other woman was on the show was annoying, and the other guy was annoying. Whole thing was annoying. Not worth the time. I call fraudulence on that question. Fraudulence!
Yeah, that's something losers do.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Eric. That COVID paid off for you in a big way.
It really did. Did
you at least watch? Did you at least watch The Good Place while you were down with the COVID?
Only because my wife liked it. Yes, but I did.
Wow, I didn't like it at all. I watched like the first day. Here's the thing: people rip me for giving something too much of a chance and then ripping it, like I have with Ozark. I watched three whole seasons of it. Still waiting. It's crap. Then, when I don't go and I give something three episodes and I'm out, I'm sorry. Anyway, Giselle, The Good Place. I mean, come on. All right. I mean, it's not even on a network. Is that on TV? Is that on a network? Is it Netflix?
It's NBC.
It is on NBC. Oh. I guess that's a network. All right, Eric, congratulations. You win an ESPN New York prize pack and my dignity.
Yeah.
And apparently it's worth so much to you. Okay. Crap, Joel.
That's that double digits.
There was, we're 24 and 10 right now. This is not good. This is not good. This is not good. We are spiraling is what we are doing. Right now, we have lost two in a row. We have had three bad performances in a row. And on questions, we are now 2 for my last 9. I am officially 100% in a slump. We're going to try to get that right next, but I'm in my own head. Apparently ripe for the picking. A big fat man on an apple tree. 98.7 ESPN. Sit tight for round two. It's going to be so much fun.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Round one did not go well. Joel Pollack, your read of the situation at the moment.
Spiraling is exactly the word I would use.
You have many times climbed into my psyche. If you were to get in there right now, what would you see?
Oh, God. I would see you looking for all sorts of crutches and maybe... Yeah. Maybe a donut just to, wipe the tears away.
Take the edge off.
Something.
Actually, that sounds good. Who's our guy? Jesus, Mark, or Courtney?
So I definitely think we should go with the people who are, doing stuff for COVID around the city. So I'm going to go with Jesus here, as he said he's going and picking up COVID samples.
Sweet.
All right, Jesus. You've got me. You've got me when I'm low. I'm very low. So let's see if you, have what it takes. And by have what it takes, apparently that's a pulse to beat the fat man.
Right.
Hey, go ahead.
If you get one right, chances are you got this. Chris, to the booth you go.
Let's go.
All right, let's go, Jesus. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First from the 80s. What show did The Simpsons first appear in before they were spun off into their own show?
Oh.
Um, Come on.
I don't know that one.
I'm sorry, man. The answer is the Tracy Ullman Show.
Okay.
All right, hang tight. Let's bring Chris in. Hiya, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, that is not the sound I like to hear. What show did The Simpsons first appear in before they were spun off into their own show?
The Tracy Ullman Show.
That is correct.
All right, it's 1-0. Chris, I'm sorry, Jesus did not get it.
All right.
Oh, I want to hear some more pep now. You're up 1-0. Let's get going.
I got one. Big deal.
I like that. All right, let's send you back to the booth and see if we can keep it going. All right, Jesus, ready for number two?
I'm ready.
All right, what was the name of the radio station Martin worked for on the TV show Martin?
Was What's Up?
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. WZUP was up. Let's nice. See. All right, let's bring Chris back in, see how he does with the same question. Hiya, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the radio station Martin worked for on the TV show Martin?
Didn't watch it. Didn't watch it enough.
Oh,
bad job by me. Don't know.
The answer is WZUP was up, and our buddy Jesus got it right.
Of course he did.
Ooh, 1-1, heading into the last round. Any confidence from either of you of our players?
Jesus?
I'm nervous. I don't know. It's 50-50 in my case.
All right, then let's get to it and see how we do. To the booth you go, Chris.
Sure.
All right, Jesus, here we go. From the 2000s. On the TV show That 70s Show, what famous singer played Kelso's California girlfriend, Annette?
What's her name?
What is her name indeed?
I know it. I can't think of it, but I know it.
Oh, sorry, man. Hang tight.
I know.
You're going to know it as soon as I say that. Yep, that's the one. Hang tight. Let's bring Chris in and see if he's got it. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
On That 70s Show, what famous singer played Kelso's California girlfriend, Annette?
What famous singer on California? I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Taylor Swift.
Nope. The answer is Jessica Simpson.
Crap.
Don't worry, Jesus didn't get it right either, so we're going to overtime.
And I knew that Jessica Simpson did it, too.
Oh, my God.
What? I am so in my own head right now.
Really?
It is unreal.
Let's see if you can pull it down in clutch time, though. I mean, we got overtime right here. If you can't get it done now, when can you get it done?
I don't know.
All right, let's send you to the booth and give Jesus a shot.
Okay.
All right, buddy, overtime, round one. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. On Saved by the Bell is a spinoff of what short-lived sitcom starring Haley Mills?
Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
That is correct.
Nice. Good job, Jesus. Let's see if Chris can match you there. Hey, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Saved by the Bell is a spinoff of what short-lived sitcom starring Haley Mills?
Oh. Forgot.
I'm going to buzz you again. Because Jesus is our winner. Not our best showing.
Oh, what was it?
The answer is Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Well, but hang on a second. Hang on. Wait.
We don't like this one, huh?
Hang on. Miss Bliss was on Saved by the Bell, correct?
Correct.
So when was Good Morning, Miss Bliss?
It was before Saved by the Bell. Hence, Saved by the Bell is a spinoff of Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Okay, so the first couple of years, or first year or two with Miss Bliss was not Good Morning, Miss Bliss. It was Saved by the Bell.
Correct.
Okay. I never saw Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
You know, Saved by the Bell was the show to watch.
Yeah, well, I did. Thanks.
So did Jesus.
Do you see what's happening here? Jesus, by the way, congratulations. Yeah, we get it. You drive around for COVID. Good job. Yeah. No, you know what, Jesus? You took a beaten man and you clobbered him over the head with a baseball bat and just knocked me out. And I am right now just absolutely careening towards the crevasse of my personal and professional life. And they have intersected because I never had a personal life. And I was relying on that factor to carry me here. And I have been god-awful for a few weeks. Now, I will say this, Jesus. You win an ESPN prize pack, and I'm excited for you. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Please hold to stand by to get your prize pack. I will say this. I am noticing a pattern. And that pattern is of questions that Giselle knows that I have not watched. Was this a Giselle Hernandez production tonight?
I would say this is actually a mix of all the producers involved. We've had questions that we've been gathering for weeks. Some we've used and some we haven't. Giselle is definitely the one who placed these questions. However, the questions are from myself, Kyrie, Giselle, Jacob.
All right, but Giselle framed them. Giselle put them into the mix.
He did.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, I was going to blame him.
It's fair to blame him.
Yes, it is. And he knows because I've said on the air, I didn't watch a lot of Martin. I didn't watch a lot of that 70s show, even though I knew the answer on that Jessica Simpson. And I don't know if I've said before that I didn't watch a lot of Alf, but I didn't watch a lot of Alf. I think Giselle is setting me up now.
I think you got to leave out which shows you're not watching. You're lobbing them up there for him, and he's just knocking them out of the park.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a 30 Rock question in months.
We know why. I mean, listen, you're just, you know, you're tagging it for him, telling him what to do, what not to do. He wants to see you lose. You know that.
Yeah, I know he does. And now I have to spend my weekend watching Alf and that 70s show.
Oh, well, then, you know, it might get you an extra win or two.
So let's just give you the math on what's going on right now. Okay. I have now fallen to 24-11, having lost three in a row. Winning percentage is now under 70%, and that's unacceptable.
Nope.
It's at 68.57. That is unacceptable.
We need a winning streak.
I have, in terms of questions, now gone. I believe it is 3 for my last 12. And that's not good. So here we are. At a crossroads, I think it's safe to say, no?
I think so. I mean, like, really what we're going to find out next week is if you've got the ability to bounce back or, you know, the numbers are kind of starting to level out a little bit, you know?
I mean, this is, I might have to create a Carlin montage a la Rocky, you know, with, you know, some of that inspirational music in the background.
Now, if only you could fast forward time and rewatch all those shows you missed during that time.
Well, maybe you'll see a video of me doing that. Maybe that's what's going to happen. A good place. A good place. I mean, that's crap. Come on. I know it was on for 4 seasons, but, like, who watched that? The only reason Eric watched it was because he was sick and his wife made him. Who watched that? Am I wrong?
I told you, I didn't watch it. I had to look it up to make sure I said the name properly.
See? Saboteur! Saboteur! Giselle Hernandez. Listen to the bell, it tolls for thee.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.